Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. This Halloween night, TBS will attempt to prove that the Eve isn't all about ghosts or goblins, tricks or treats. It can be about aliens, or to be more specific, those of us snatched by them. People of Earth is the attempt, and we snatched the creator for our first half hour. David Jenkins joins me next in an interview exclusive live from Toronto, Canada. First wants to be right there with other 24/7 services you can view on smart TVs and smart devices. It's from Rooster Teeth, the online makers behind popular web series Red vs. Blue and Wordy. The facts and future of First, that's future of First, coming up from plumbing director Evan Bregman. Also ahead, J-Lo puts on a happy face and the answer to our classic trivia question of the week. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in this half hour. Happy you are with us on this Friday afternoon for the program All About Television. 46 degrees, very bright ones at the top of the hour here in New York. Got some good people coming your way in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be in the conversation. It's so simple. Raise your voice, then use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's good anyway, or catch us across the country or around the world right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we got chat room going. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And our wonderful friend from Philly, Rick Webb, is already in the room. And we just got guest 829 has also just joined us, so welcome aboard. And again, if you have a question or comment, raise the voice, use the chat room, or use the phone. Either way, we hear you because what you say matters. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. We will have David Jenkins live from Toronto after this news note. Jennifer Lopez will have one busy TV stretch in 2017, already down for a second season on Shades of Blue, and first as executive producer of the competition series World of Dance. Lopez will extend her NBC relationship playing Rosie on a live news rendition of Bye Bye Birdie next fall. She also will serve as the Specials co-executive producer. Rosie was played by Chia Rivera in the original 1960s Broadway musical hit, then Janet Leigh on film opposite Dick Van Dyke and Anne Margaret. Harvey Firestein, now doing Hairspray Live on NBC this December, will write this Birdie adaptation. And that is news notes for today. It's been a fun time in the world of comedy for TBS, with a number of shows that have become hits already this year, like Angie Tribeca, Rep, and The Detour. And we should point out, Will Ferrell with Samantha Bee. Now, the wonderful station is running two series this fall in within a month of each other. Coming up later in November will be Search Party, but on Halloween night, they will get into it with a show called People of Earth. It's a show executive produced by their late-night star, Conan O'Brien. Joining us live from Toronto, Canada, where People of Earth was produced, is its creator and co-executive producer, David Jenkins. David, welcome in.
Thanks for having me, Simon.
It's a pleasure. How did you come up with this alien encounter?
You know, I read an article about a group of alien abductees that were in a support group and in real life, and these things exist. And I thought that would be a great setting for something, for kind of a grounded comedy about people struggling with this fantastical thing they think had happened to them.
And how long did it take you to take this from conception, alien otherwise, into a TBS series?
It went incredibly quickly, I have to say. I wrote it over about 3 months. Maybe a couple of years ago, Conan O'Brien's production company got it, and quickly gave it over to Greg Daniels, who created the, show ran the American Office. And, it moved really quickly after that. So I think it was maybe 2 years after finishing the script, almost exactly, to now, where we've just finished wrapping the first season.
David, for Conan, who started, really had his first claim to fame as one of the producers and writers of The Simpsons before he got into the whole late-night arena, has it been sort of a coming home or a full circle time for him having him involved in doing the series?
I don't know. I think you'd have to ask Conan. I mean, it is awfully, from my perspective, it's awfully flattering to have Conan O'Brien read something you've written and enjoy it and think it's good and think it's so good that he wants to do it and involve his friend. He and Greg have known each other for years, and Greg wrote for The Simpsons as well for 5 years. So it was pretty amazing to have two people whose work you really admire look at something you've written and say, oh, this is good. This isn't terrible. We actually really like it. Let's make it. Has been an incredible experience.
Well, welcome guest 939 into our chat room. Thanks for coming aboard. You have a question or a comment for David, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or place it in that room. It is available right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So, David, talk about the show. This is about a journalist who is played by a fantastic talent, Wyatt Cenac, formerly of The Daily Show and other things too. And he lays upon this support group, and it's also played by another wonderful talent we all know from Saturday Night Live, Anna Gasteyer. And how do the two
Gasteyer? In the show, how do they meet up? Well, he is assigned this story. This journalist, Wyatt Cenac, plays Ozzie Graham is the character's name. And he's assigned a story to go report on an alien abduction support group in upstate New York. And he meets them. And the group is led by Anna Gasteyer's character, Gina Morrison. And he writes them off at first and thinks they're ridiculous, as a lot of us would. And over the course of the pilot, he slowly starts to realize that these people aren't crazy. And there might be something to what they're saying. There might actually be aliens that have abducted each of them. By the end of the pilot, he starts to suspect that maybe he's been abducted himself.
And then where do you take the plot from there, from episode 2 on?
Well, I think that this show in conception was kind of a mix between, I described it as a mix between a Greg Daniels human comedy, which is, you know, a comedy of people who are just ordinary people in normal circumstances, mixed with kind of a J.J. Abrams magic box show. So it's taking like a wildly overwrought conceit, like alien invasion and aliens existing and the mysteries behind that, and mixing it with a style of comedy that is pretty earnest and pretty warm and dryly funny, which matches Conan's sensibility and Greg's and Wyatt's. So as the show progresses, you learn a little bit more about these characters, especially Wyatt's character, and you start to realize that there is more to the surface of his life as there appears to be in the pilot. And you kind of dig into his past as he kind of unlocks memories of something that might have happened to him over the course of a season.
And this group, this alien counter group that Anna leads, is pretty much United Nations of alien encountered people. Was it very easy or very difficult to pull that cast, that ensemble cast together, and then from there come up with the chemistry?
Yeah, I think that's the hardest part. I mean, we spent 3 months casting it, and it was we needed every minute of those 3 months. For my money, putting a great cast together for an ensemble piece is the most important ingredient. It doesn't work unless you have just an excellent group of people. And it takes a really long time to find those people and to find people that have chemistry. They can be really, really funny, but they can also play the truth of the character and not be overly broad. You have to do a lot of things to do kind of the comedy that Greg does very well. I think the thing that I admire about what he does is he works with people that are really funny, but they can also play their circumstances believably. And in that way, I've always related to the characters of his shows very easily because they seem like real people.
We're speaking with David Jenkins. He's the creator and co-executive producer of TBS's new comedy, People of Earth, involving Conan O'Brien and Greg Daniels from The Office and Parks and Recreation and a whole batch of other wonderful people. The cast led by Wyatt Cenac, former of The Daily Show, and Anna Gasteyer from, of course, Saturday Night Live and other wonderful things, too. And David joins us live from Toronto, Canada, where the show was produced live right here this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum, who is you live from New York, down south from Toronto way. If you have a question or comment for David, get it in, 646-652-2906. Or you in our chat room, SimonApple04, my name is guest 939, Rick Weber from Ben from Philadelphia, already in the room. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, remember Fuel TV? It was a Fox-owned channel devoted to extreme and action sports. It was headed by a man named C.J. Olivares. He was on our show when Fuel TV was going. Well, Fuel TV has been over for a couple of years now, and it's coming back as part of a brand new venture called Everyday Networks, where Mr. Olivares is now the chief content officer. And he will be with us Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, to tell about every day and what it's up to, including the revival of Fuel and where you can find it. It's C.J. Olivares from Everyday Networks that's live right with us Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Also on the program, the New York Television Festival will be announcing its prize winners tomorrow night, and we'll have a rundown of them on the show as a news note. We'll also invite any of the entries that won to be on our program in November. David, tell us about producing the show in Toronto and about the look of the show, because in watching the promos and clips from the episodes, there's this wonderful, fun look that really feels like you're in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, right down to the
aliens. Ah, that's cool. That's a nice compliment. Cool. All right. You know, I think that, you wanted to make a show for this that kind of feels like filmic. It doesn't really feel like broad, brightly lit half-hour comedy. So the goal was to make something that really, if you're instead of making fun of the genre, really go into the alien genre and make a show that is kind of a mystery show and really earnestly try to do it. And a big part of that is the look and feel of it. And the show takes place in upstate New York. For budgetary reasons, we ended up shooting in Toronto, which is actually a very good double for upstate New York. But to be on location and actually be out here shooting at night with pine trees and barns and everything else that's a little spooky at night upstate is a pretty great thing. It lends the show a really good look. We also got a very good director of photography named Johnny Cliff, who has worked on Brian De Palma movies, and he shot documentaries, and he has a pretty big wheelhouse of things he can do. But we were very lucky to get him for this, and I think he helped give the show a very distinctive look.
So I'm working with Wyatt. We know he's a wonderful talent, very improvisational, off the cuff, very funny, as he showed on The Daily Show. What was it like working with him in a series role where he's playing this person as an investigator who comes across this alien counter group and ends up wondering whether he himself was one of the abductees?
Yeah, well, I wrote the show with Wyatt in mind, never having met him. But I just, he was the person that came into my head for the character. And I've been a big fan of his since The Daily Show. He was my favorite person on The Daily Show. And I think, weirdly, actually, like Conan and Greg, I kind of feel like there's a sensibility with Wyatt where his comedy is very dry. He's a very, very funny listener, which is a very hard skill to find. And his job on that show is processing people who are saying crazy things, and then you get to watch his reactions as he processes these people. In a way, that's kind of like what Bob Newhart did, what made him really funny. So I think the thing with Wyatt is that he is great if you've got a role of somebody who has journalistic credibility and he's coming into a strange situation. I mean, it's very much like fish out of water. And I just thought that he would be he'd be great in it. He had a lot of the elements that I thought would really ground the show, but would also give it a very unique sense of humor, and would play up his sensibility and kind of his dryness against this fantastical world of people who are saying they've been beamed into space by aliens. You kind of need somebody to ground the show, and I think he does that very well.
And like Bob Newhart, CNAC is in this position where he has this support group around him. And, of course, people know the Bob Newhart show, know that one of the charms of the show was that you got to know this collection of characters who Bob, as a psychiatrist, would deal with in group fashion from week to week. And they sort of became, and many of them became household names, or at least household faces as a result of doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. I think that, you know, it's fun to see somebody who thinks they're maybe slightly above a situation that they've walked into slowly realize that they're not above it and they're actually a part of it, and that they have a lot in common with people that they maybe initially judged. And I think that Bob Newhart made a career doing that on two shows, and I think that's maybe a common trope for a fish out of water story, but there's a reason that is, because it's very satisfying. I think it's something that we all do, where we see a group of people and we take them at face value, and then the more you talk to them and the more you meet with them, the more you realize you have something in common. And I think it's really fun to watch this group of people, this ensemble, and Wyatt kind of get to know them and slowly become part of the family with them. I mean, really what you're doing is you're building a big family of people who aren't related, but they need each other.
When you set up the writer's room, along with Conan and Greg and the other executive producers, were there any people on the staff that had their own alien encounters to talk about, or knew people who had talked about alien encounters or unidentified flying objects, other unexplained phenomena that looked like, yeah, let's put that in the show, or let's drum up those experiences?
Yeah, it was weird. You know, I think we talked to a few people when we were interviewing that had experiences, and that was always interesting. And it's never who you think it's going to be. It's usually somebody who's very straight-laced, and they come in and they talk to you for a bit, and then they say, yeah, this thing happened to me a few years ago. I'm not crazy. And then they would tell you some thing that was very unusual. We didn't have any people that had experiences in the room. But I think that there's a lot of really good literature. A guy named John Mack, who was a PhD, I think he was a PhD at Yale, and he was a neurologist, and he studied people who had been abducted by aliens, they claimed, and he would interview them, and he has transcripts of these interviews of people talking about it, and they seem normal. They seem like normal people. So those things we definitely incorporated. It's really fun to me to think about, like, oh, okay, here's a 60-year-old realtor who seems very put together, but she is very honestly and calmly telling you that she's been beamed out of her apartment over the Brooklyn Bridge. You know, those are things that when you read first-person accounts of abductions, they're very mysterious. They're funny in a way, just because they're off-putting and they're so off the wall, and the details are very specific and they're very unusual. So there's a lot of that out there, and we definitely looked at quite a bit of that while we were writing the show.
The show we're talking about is People of Earth. And David Jenkins is the creator and co-executive producer of it. Premieres Halloween night, Monday, with 2 half-hour episodes, 9 and 9:30 Eastern and Pacific Time on TBS. David joins us live this half hour on Tomorrow We Tell Live. Simon Applebaum with you live from Nueva York. Happy you are with us, wrapping up your week with us on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a question or a comment for David, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up later in the program, our Clock of Trivia Question of the Week, and our second half hour, we're going to Austin, Texas. And we're going to speak with the program director of Rooster Teeth, very popular web series producer, and now they have their own 24/7 service, which you can find on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. It's called FIRST. Some very interesting program associated with FIRST. We'll find out what it is and why it's called FIRST when Evan Bregman, the program director, joins us. That's coming up shortly after the bottom of the hour. David, tell us your story in television. Is People of Earth your debut as a writer-producer?
Yeah, it is. It's my first time doing this, which has been absolutely insane. To have written something and have it embraced by people that you really look up to, and then to have written it for somebody you've never met, and then they actually end up being in the show. It has been an absolutely amazing experience, and I couldn't be more thankful for it.
How did you get the opportunity to have the experience in the first place? Did you do films? Did you do novels? Did you do playwriting? Because we're seeing a lot of people from different backgrounds get into television, and now they're getting in creating shows, as you have, but like yourself, they're also running the show or being in an executive overseer spot.
Yeah. I wrote plays for years, and I was an actor for a number of years in New York, and I produced my own plays in New York City, and that's a great experience, and it's backbreaking, and you learn a lot, and you really learn how to assemble teams of people around a piece of work. But yeah, I just kind of was on the New York scene doing things like that for a number of years. And then started to write television scripts kind of on spec. Maybe a few years ago, someone suggested it to me. I had gotten a manager who suggested I take a crack at it. And I wrote one, and it didn't sell. And then I wrote this one, and this happened. So it's been a very disorienting experience. I think, Arthur Miller once said about breaking through, it's very disorienting to push against a door and push against a door and push against a door and then have it open. And then you walk into an entirely new room, and it's really big. And it's amazing that the door opens, but, you're in this new space. And that's kind of what this feels like, to have tried so hard to get plays produced and done the backbreaking work of doing them myself, to actually then have a television script embraced this quickly by people I never would have imagined I'd be working with, has been as disorienting as it is absolutely amazing and fortuitous.
So David, how do you orient yourself through the disorientation, especially when you have people around you like a Conan O'Brien, like a Greg Daniels, actors like Elias Stenak or Anna, that you're dealing with, and you're dealing with it day to day. It's not as if like you're doing it from afar. You are with them one way or the other day to day.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is just asking for help from people because, like you said, I'm surrounded by great people. So a lot of it is checking in and asking for advice. I'm really lucky to be married. My wife gives me very, very good advice. But a lot of it is, having done a lot of reading and trying to figure out how other people have done this and really taking advantage of the people that you have around you and asking them, hey, how is this done? And then it's a lucky thing to have worked with Greg. He's kind of like a professor of television. He's a very giving guy and very pragmatic. And he's a very good teacher, for how to lead something like this and how to make a television program that has voice as opposed to chasing something that maybe is more broad and more outside of yourself.
The program is People of Earth. It is TBS's new comedy, and one of two that they'll be launching within the month. They'll be doing a second one called Search Party, which will be coming out around the Thanksgiving season. And you can catch the first two episodes back-to-back Halloween night. That's Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Check your local for where TBS is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, TBS.com. That's TBS.com. People of Earth, first two episodes back-to-back Monday night, Halloween night, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. David Jenkins, the creator and co-executive producer, thank you for joining us. Welcome into the world of television, orienting yourself quickly, and all the very best to you and Conan and Jeff and Greg and everybody involved with the show. It looks like a winner.
Thanks, Simon. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. It is a pleasure. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, you too.
David Jenkins, the creator, co-executive producer of People of Earth on TBS, joining us live from Toronto, Canada. We'll have our Classic Trivia question of the week momentarily, but first, some words from our terrific sponsor, Audible.com, an Amazon company. Christmas is not too far off, and already, if you are in the mood for some wonderful sound with a holiday, you can find it, both old and new, at Audible.com. One of the newest titles came out this week is The Christmas Baby Bundle. It's a wonderful sound book for the whole family by the terrific writer Barbara Lohr. And you can get that, if you like, right now through a trial subscription to Audible.com. All you got to do is go to this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, and the fine folks there will do the rest for you. Audible.com is a leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from, every genre possible and sometimes impossible. And you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, through the fine folks at Blog Talk Radio. Now, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's the URL, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of their service. And just because it is from Amazon.com, the customer service, incredible. So do yourself a favor for those you love for the holidays and yourself as well. Get the Christmas Baby Bundle by Barbara Lohr. Get other wonderful Christmas titles of all different shapes and sizes and all different sounds too, available at Audible.com. Or if you want something that lasts all year long, well, get that free audiobook that you like. You choose a title, and of course, get that 30-day free trial. And all you gotta do is go to this website and make it happen. AudibleTrial.com/televised. AudibleTrial.com/televised. For a great sound experience lasting all year long and beyond, it is Audible.com, an Amazon company. And now it's time for the answer to this week's Classic Trivia question. Sorry we didn't get away Twin Peaks FAQ because nobody came up with the correct answer. Remember, a week ago we had Norman Lear in what was an incredible milestone for this program, 94 years incredible. And the question we asked was, name the 1980 television series that Mr. Lear co-created with the author of Roots, Alex Haley. The answer, Palmerstown, USA. It ran from 1980 to 81 on CBS. About two 9-year-olds and their families living close to each other in a southern town. And one of those 9-year-olds was Michael J. Fox. Absolutely. Michael J. Fox was one of the co-stars of Palmerstown, USA. Ran on CBS from spring 1980 to spring 1981. Co-created and produced by Norman Lear and Alex Haley. Unfortunately, we did not get the answer to that classic question, so we'll get a new question up and Adam on Monday's episode. And if you're first with the correct answer, you can win Twin Peaks FAQ from the Flawless Books. It's the book about the classic 1990s ABC mystery series from David Lynch and Mark Frost. Coming back next year on Showtime with Lynch and Frost writing all the episodes, Lynch directing all the episodes, and many of the original cast members involved. So if you know the answer to our question when we pose it on Monday, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and your full mailing address. You can also use Twitter to get the answer through at Twitter, #TWBT. That's Twitter, #TWBT. The Twitter option is made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch, the folks inviting you to create your own social soundtrack. Learn how at hopscotch.com. That's www.hopscotch.com. And if you missed on Monday's program, don't worry. I'll post the question on my own Facebook page and on my Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's the UBCSimonTWBT. But remember, you got to be in to win. So listen on Monday and all the very best. We come back. We're going to Austin, Texas. And we're speaking with the former director of the popular website Rooster Teeth, who's also involved in their new service, first. We'll be first with him, live from Austin, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, the best internet radio around, with more than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Financial Survival Network. Join Kerry Lutz and his guests. They're going to take you through the new economy in fine shape and then some. The Financial Survival Network, every week, various times, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, Best of BTR is available 24/7 at YouTube.com. So please check it out and spread the word. Welcome back to the second half of Tawabi Televised, this hour coming your way on Friday afternoon, last one of October 2016. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Delighted to have you aboard. Another great guest coming your way in the half hour to come. And if you have a question or comment, ring it in, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Guest 939 and Rick Webb, our Philadelphia friend, still in the room. If the name Rooster Teeth sounds familiar, it's because they're one of the top producers of unique web series, shows like, well, Red vs. Blue, for example. But now they are taking their universe a big step further with a service called First. And it's a service you can find on smart TV sets and smart TV devices from Apple TV, Roku, Chromecast, and NVIDIA Shield, things like that. Joining us live from Austin, Texas, is the programming director at Rooster Teeth and First, Evan Bregman. Evan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. For those people who don't know about Rooster Teeth, how long has your company been in business?
Rooster Teeth has been around for a long time, nearly 15 years now. Red vs. Blue, which you mentioned in the intro there, is the longest-running series on the internet. We just aired the season finale for season 14. To give some context, that show was being distributed on the internet before YouTube existed.
And then you have another show, which is pronounced Ruby. It's spelled R-W-B-Y, and that's a very unique anime series.
Yes, that's right. We do a lot of animation here, along with a lot of live action, and Ruby is probably our most popular series right now. It's the story of four girls who are at school to learn how to be monster hunters in the world where they live. And as we understand it, it's the first anime series to be produced here in the United States and exported back into Asia. We just started volume four of that series just last weekend.
So talk about First. What kind of service is it? When did it start? And how are you doing getting on smart TVs and smart devices?
Yeah, we're just rolling out onto new TV-based devices in the next couple of weeks here. So it's definitely a big step forward for us. First is the current iteration of a program that Rooster Teeth has been doing for pretty much as long as the company has been around. I mentioned Red vs. Blue existed before YouTube existed. That also means that Red vs. Blue existed on the internet before you could make money off of advertising reliably. And so in order to keep that series going, the guys who founded the company set up a system whereby people who loved Red vs. Blue and loved the community that they had set up on the website to pay a very small monthly fee, all to support the ability for the series to even get made in the first place. So from very early on, the platform was a fan platform. A fan club is how we think about it. And relaunching it just last year as First was our kind of nod towards internet culture, which is what a lot of our shows revolve around in general. The idea of you look at any of our videos, the very first comment invariably is someone just saying First, and then the second and the third one also are, because those are people who thought they were commenting first. First has been a word that's been long associated with us, just within our community, and so First as a platform is now where our members can kind of gather, where they can, be obsessive about what we do and obsess with us as well.
Do you envision First, the service, to be groundbreaking or genre-breaking or busting in any way? Is that sort of what the tone of the service is going to be?
Yeah, certainly in some ways. We're different in... We're different from other subscription VOD services insofar as, we're not ever going to be the huge, broad, hundreds of millions of subscribers with, all of this licensed content kind of a one-stop shop for people and a home for every type of content for every person. We service a very specific audience, and we think that audience is big enough to be able to build something really strong. You know, at the end of the day, I relate what we're doing, as much as it is, you know, very much a membership platform, and we are growing it very much, maintaining an audience that is a mile deep, and even if it is growing in its breadth as opposed to, you know, a mile wide and an inch deep, you know, we do see that there's a big enough audience to grow what would be the equivalent of, say, you know, a cable network like TBS.
Who makes up the audience? Is it millennials? Is it Generation Y, Generation Z? Is it people of color? Is it women? Who are you trying to reach?
We're mostly guys. We're mostly guys 18 to 35, to be exact, although we do have series that kind of skew in various directions. Ruby in particular, we know, has a younger audience compared to some of our other shows. It also has a more female audience than some of our other shows. You know, these are people who very much grew up with the internet, you know, as that age group, the millennial age group, definitely did. They're fans of video games. They're not obsessive necessarily about video games, but they, quite frankly, just like me, grew up playing them, grew up going to friends' houses and finding weird things to do within video games that you weren't necessarily supposed to do with them in the first place. And we provide a community that has a shared interest with that audience.
We're speaking with Evan Bregman. He is the head of programming for Rooster Teeth and its new SVOD, or what you might call smart TV service, First. And it plays or will be playing on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Evan joins us live from Austin, Texas, wonderful television production capital, also home of a great TV festival called ATX that takes place every spring, every summer. He joins us live from there this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum here with you and happy to be with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio this Friday afternoon. If you have a question or comment for Evan, don't be shy. Just pick the voice up and then the phone up at 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And again, coming up Monday on Tomorrow We Televise, we'll talk to somebody involved with another player that wants to get into the smart TV, smart device universe. The player is called Everyday Networks, and the person we're talking to is the former head of Fuel TV. That was the Fox network dealing with extreme and action sports, and he wants to bring that back. He was on our show, by the way, when Fuel was around. Now he wants to bring the network back as part of Everyday. His name is C.J. Olivares. He's the chief content officer for Everyday, and he'll be with us as our lead guest. That's Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow We Televise. Also on Monday, if you're in the New York area, check out BK Live. It's a program all about television. It's a program all about Brooklyn and beyond. You can find it from noon to 1 on Brick TV. I'll be on the program, and I'll be speaking with the person behind the show, about the show, going into season number 2. And there's a very special filmmaker that's now involved with that show. Not going to tell you who it is. You got to check the show out. We hope to have that person live, either in our studio or via Skype. So check out BK Live on Brick TV from noon to 1 Monday. Brick TV is available throughout New York City on Verizon Fios, throughout Brooklyn, Manhattan on Charter, throughout Brooklyn on Cablevision Systems and RCN, and then it's posted the very next day or day after at youtube.com/BrickTV, youtube.com/BrickTV. So tell us, Evan, some of the first attractions that people will find on First.
I'm sorry, say one more time.
What are the first attractions, the initial attractions that people will find on First?
Well, Ruby is absolutely, you know, the biggest show across all of our platforms. You know, it drives a lot of our subscribers. And, you know, first and foremost, I think the way that people discover First is that as a platform where you can view Rooster Teeth content 24 hours before you can see it anywhere else. And, you know, like I mentioned, our fans really value having even that short period of exclusivity so that they can be the first people to talk about it. Now you're starting to understand, I'm sure, why we call it First. On top of that, we also have a bunch of exclusive content on the platform, not only bloopers and BTS and outtakes from various shows that are also free to watch, but we also have several exclusive shows on First. We have an hour-long drama called Day 5. Season 1 was just this past summer. It's kind of a post-apocalyptic world where sleep becomes lethal, and we follow the survivors of the crazy epidemic trying to figure out what went on. And then we also just finished airing a half-hour comedy called Crunch Time that has a really great cast, Sam Levine from Freaks and Geeks, Nick Rutherford from SNL, and several others. And it's a half-hour comedy that's sort of like Inception meets Weird Science. A group of grad students unwittingly open a black hole inside of their science lab. And those are all first exclusives.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, Day 5 recently won the Streamy Award for Best Sci-Fi or Action Series. It beat out something from the Kroff Brothers, the revival of Electro Woman and Dino Girl that involved the popular YouTube star Grace Helbig.
That's right, yeah, Grace Helbig and Hannah Hart. We were honored to receive that award. It's amazing to see. I mean, we've been part of the Streamy since the very beginning, and to see the quality of content that is now represented at that award show is absolutely nuts. And that drama category, everyone that was in it was fantastic. And obviously, we're a small studio down here in Austin. Electro Woman and Dino Girl was produced by Legendary. You had a bunch of major studios that TV and film. That had stuff at the Streamies this year. So we were really honored to get that award.
Mm-hmm. Is a lot of Austin production talent being used in your series? And if they are from newbies, like David Jenkins, who we had on the half hour before, from People of Earth, who have never done television before, do you try to surround them with more experienced people so that we were talking about the disorientation process, how you orient them through a process of producing your first series, being the showrunner, being the person running the show, that can often, without some coaching and guidance, can be disorienting.
Yeah, that's kind of the story of digital production as a whole. It's certainly the case for us here, but I worked in digital in Los Angeles for a long time as well, and it was the same story. One of the amazing things about digital is it really gives opportunities for up-and-coming creators due to budgetary limitations and just due to kind of the experimental nature of content on the web and the way audiences really receive that kind of experimentation really well on the web. You really see a lot of up-and-comers just like you're talking about. As far as here in Austin, we are one of the major production entities here. We sit on the same lot with Troublemaker Studios, which is just next door shooting Something Insane right now. I'm watching huge cranes with big key lights on. Certainly, on the production side, we're a major player. And then on the animation side, we employ, I would venture to guess, we are the largest animation studio in Austin, Texas. And they sit, not 50 feet from me inside of a converted airport hangar here at Austin Studios. So there's no shortage of talent here. It's all very, very high quality. The great thing about Texas, obviously, there is somewhat of a tax incentive here still, although other states have pulled ahead a little bit. But also, the people who are here work on very big things.
You also have down there, I mentioned earlier, a wonderful event called ATX, the Austin TV Festival, and we are now seeing this group circuit of similar festivals happening around the country. New York was one of the first. You have ATX, you have Atlanta, you have Sirius Fest in Denver, the ITV Fest that was a week or so ago in Dover, Vermont, formerly Los Angeles, the new North Park one that was in the Hamptons in September. Are you checking out what's going on there in terms of trying to get talent or trying to get the pilots that are being showcased at these festivals to become part of FIRST?
Absolutely. We just showed Crunch Time at the Austin Film Festival right here in our backyard. We were a part of ATX in a small way, and we'll be going forward, I'm sure. Just in general, kind of the proliferation of those festivals is really tied to the fact that in the age of the Internet, and we're living proof of this, there is such a thing as independent television. It used to be that you could have independent film that was financed elsewhere. You make the movie, you do the festival rounds, or however you can kind of pick up distribution, and that's how you can repay your investors and hopefully, come out in the black a little bit, if not just break even. Now that's possible on television because there are so many different distributors looking for so many different types of content, and if they don't pick it up, there are options for independent filmmakers to be able to distribute their own episodic content. Where before you had that gatekeeper, pre-cable there were 4 or 5 gatekeepers. Now there are still 100, but they're still pretty conglomerated into 4 or 5. And we really represent, just as all those film festivals represent, kind of that independent movement and the feeling of independent filmmaking that's now being carried over into episodic storytelling.
You and your crew were at VidCon which was last week, one of the two international programming fairs. MIP was the other one that takes place in the spring. What did you think of the experience, and did you find anything that that you'll bring back for FIRST?
You know, I myself was not there, but as far as I know, it was a great experience. Our co-founder and chief creative officer, Bernie Burns, gave a presentation there alongside of the CEO of YouTube, and just kind of told the Rooster Teeth story and how much we appreciate YouTube as a partner. And then you know, we were there with our premium series, Crunch Time and Day 5, just looking for distribution opportunities. It got a small sampling of formats. You know, again, because of the unique nature of our platform, you know, we're much more likely to, if we're going to acquire an IP, it's going to be at a very early stage so that we can bring it in-house, we can really nurture it, we can make sure that our community knows about it and believes in it so that when it launches, the community feels some kind of ownership in it. That's what they pay us their monthly fee for. You know, we're not going out there and just trying to see things that, well, we think this audience is going to watch it, so we'll just kind of toss it up there, because that's not how people use our platform.
Evan Bregman is the programming director for Rooster Teeth, and they are the folks behind FIRST, one of the latest of the growing number of smart TV programming services. Also, they have the smart TV app like Apple TV, Roku, Chromecast, Amazon Fire TV, etc., etc. He's with us live from Austin, Texas, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live this Friday afternoon from New Web, New York. 46 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you aboard. If you have a question or a comment for Evan, get it in, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, Simon Apple 0419, gets 975. And our good friend from Philly, Rick Webb, is in the room. Remember, we love hearing from you. So email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And please include your name and your mailing address. That's how you get involved in our class trivia question of the week. We also have a feature called The Show to Know. It goes like this. Is there a TV show you think deserves more attention than it's getting? Well, email me, and if we use your suggestion on the air, you, of course, will get the credit. But you got to play at the end. So email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Again, please include your name and your mailing address. And you can also find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Any way you communicate is great because what you say matters. Right now, Evan, more than half the American public has smart television sets. They have smart TV devices. In some cases, they have both. We know that that's how people are now watching Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, your service, full screen. But it's also provoking companies like yourself to get into this full-time programming service game. What do you make of everybody like CISO and Full Screen and what you're doing and maybe Awesome TV down the road, Machinima, et cetera, getting into this? How do you think it's going to impact everybody in this field?
I mean, you're seeing the proliferation of this space that can really only be compared to the adoption of cable, right? You know, the difference just being the infrastructure and the interface. I think when even something as simple as Apple TV opening up a store for their TV OS to allow third-party apps access to that homepage and allowing users to really have control over the interface that they see on their television is just a massive victory for consumer choice, number one. And number two, you know, it's a long time coming for those of us that have been in the digital space for a really long time. You know, digital in and of itself and making videos for YouTube, no one would argue that's the same thing as making things for linear television. I think now, you know, we certainly live in a world where we know for a fact that the content we distribute on a daily basis, hours and hours of content that we're distributing on a daily basis, can easily sit next to everything on CISO, everything on FX, everything on TBS, and all the other apps that are going to be next to each other on these connected devices. I think the exciting thing for me is to finally see that interface beginning to open up. And, you know, if I can get political for a second, I definitely applaud the FCC's push to open up cable boxes as well to be able to have those interfaces include us and include, you know, the many other partners from large corporations on down.
Incidentally, Tim Cook, head of Apple, announced yesterday in a press conference in San Francisco when he announced an app that allows you to discover various programs that Apple TV now has over 8,000 apps, a quarter of them are games, and Minecraft, one of the most popular games around in any way, is going to become an Apple TV app by the end of the year. It'll be very interesting to see whether Minecraft sort of jumpstarts the whole idea of video games in terms of the kind of video games you can do on a smart set or a smart device. So we'll see what happens. But I want to let you know about that in case you didn't hear what was said about Apple TV. Still waiting for Apple TV to do a press event here in New York with the app developers so we can all see, you know, what's going on, because there's a lot going on with Apple TV.
It definitely is. I think what's exciting about that announcement specifically is it really plays to the strengths of each individual kind of content brand. When you think about, you know, you can't really think about them as TV channels anymore. They're just content brands. And what opening up that search interface really allows for is for a user to hear about a show like Day 5, and when they turn on their television, you know, it's as easy as just being presented with a search bar or telling Siri what they want to watch, and having kind of a centralized interface where it doesn't matter what channel it's on. You know, it doesn't matter if it's on Hulu, Netflix, First, you name it. You know, the users will be able to find the content all the same.
Is First a subscription service or is it an ad-supported service? And if it's a subscription, how much does a user pay?
First is a subscription service. We've got different plans, but you can go as low as $5 a month.
And what's coming up in terms of new series? What's next on the roster?
Well, we're just about to launch a free-to-watch series that has some paid elements to it called Immersion, which honestly I cannot wait for. It's a series where we test whether or not we're able to do the things that happen in video games in real life. That's going to be launching in just the next couple of weeks here. It's, I think, the fourth season of that show. And it's bigger than ever. I mean, like, the number of beautiful explosions that are in each of these episodes is absolutely mind-boggling. So very excited about that one. And then we have an animated series coming out at the end of the year here. You know, one of the exciting things about working with our community is we really listen to them when they tell us, hey, this is great, you should do something with it. A channel that's in our extended network called Funhouse had created a fictional 80s hair metal band called Sex Swing. And we have an animated series called Sex Swing that features those characters, and that's going to be coming out at the end of this year. I mean, the scripts for it are absolutely hysterical, so I'm excited about that one too.
The name of the company is Rooster Teeth, and the name of the service is called First, and it is on some smart TV sets and smart devices, and will be on others ASAP. So check out the service if you have it on a smart TV set or a smart TV device like Roku, Apple TV, Google Chromecast, et cetera, and you can check over this website to find out what services and sets it is on or soon will be on. That website is Rooster Teeth, as it's pronounced, roosterteeth.com. It's roosterteeth.com. And the service, again, is called First. Evan Brinkman, Program Director for both First and Rooster Teeth, the parent company. Thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on getting First off the ground. We look forward to covering the programming and service that will be popping up in the months and years ahead. It's been a pleasure to have you with us. And, of course, also the best to all the production community people in Austin. It's a wonderful city, and the production is growing. That's where American Crime was done, first two seasons, I might add. And it's a wonderful place to do a television show.
Thanks very much for having me.
You're welcome. A pleasure. All the greatest to you and your team. Take care. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Evan Brinkman, Promo Director at Rooster Teeth, and its subscription video on demand service, First, available on smart TV sets and smart devices, joining us from Austin, Texas. And quickly, one takeaway from the week. New York Television Festival will be announcing its winners tomorrow, and it's very possible that at least one of those winners will be at a festival that came out before the New York Television Festival. Because now, as we said on this program, we have a circuit of TV festivals, like the circuit of film festivals that have been around for decades. And because of that, we are seeing at the New York Television Festival pilots and series possibilities that originally were screened earlier this year at places like Series Fest in Denver, ITV Fest just a week or so ago, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be fun to see if, in fact, that happens. I wouldn't bet against it. But that's a great takeaway, because it means that this independent television community we've just been talking about the last few minutes, it is for real, and they're getting more opportunities to make it big in the overall television world. And that is a great thing. Again, we will have a news note on the New York Television Festival winners that are announced tomorrow night on Monday's program, and we will invite at least one of those winners to be on our show and also on BK Live in the month ahead. Coming up on Monday on Tomorrow We Tell Lies, the former head of Fuel, C.J. LaVaris, will join us. Now he's chief content officer of the new venture, Everyday Networks. It's trying to do, like Rooster Teeth, a big deal for smart TV sets and smart devices, and one of those services they want to provide is the return of Fuel. And C.J. will be with us. Plus, as I mentioned, the New York Television Festival News Note and other things, too, including a new classic trivia question of the week. That's all Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here. On to Bobby Televised. Again, I want to thank all my guests, not only for today, but this entire week. We have had a blast all week long, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, with 3 episodes. And, of course, thank all of you for listening. We'd like to hear from you. Before we get to that, I want to remind you, if you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on our episode you missed this week, our big episode last Friday with Norman Lear, and much, much more, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And, of course, check out the podcast version of the show. You will find it on iTunes. You'll also find it, if you have Apple TV 2.0, at the Apple TV iTunes podcast app. And all of the Blog Talk Radio shows that are on iTunes are also on that app so you can hear and watch them. If you don't have Apple TV, go to the Apple Store near you or visit and order online. Again, we love hearing from you. So once again, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Love to hear what you love about today's program. Love to hear your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going as well. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. And I do respond to emails within 24 hours. And don't forget to include your name and where you are from. That's again, Rob, a Clap Trivia Question of the Week and our show, The Note Feature. You can also find me on Facebook 24/7 and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. C. Simon, TWVT. However you communicate, it's appreciated. Guess why? Because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, none of those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams, Andy Toth, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Tell Lies was brought to you today by Audible.com, an Amazon company. Remember, if you want a free trial and a free audiobook to hear for 30 days, go to audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. And tell them, Tomorrow We Televise, how'd you do it? For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your Friday and weekend. We are back on Monday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Of course, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. And please, be safe and be great out there this weekend. It'll make it so much greater. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.